Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to our next episode of the Everyday Disciples podcast. As always, Derek here with you. And today we have a very special opportunity to hear from three people who were recently on our mission trip to Austria. Now, what I think is also really cool about this is at the date of recording, so it will be published later, but at the date of recording, we're in the week leading up to our Mission Sunday here at WMB KMV, where we are going to be able to hear throughout different congregants in our church and overall how God has been stirring people to join his mission. But we'll also get the chance to hear from members of this team on Sunday as well. So I think just really a beautiful timing for this conversation. So I want to let these guys introduce themselves. So for the three of you, why don't you just introduce yourself? Tell us about who you are, what makes you tick, and just give us a little introduction.
Thanks, Derek, for having us. I'll kick it off. Greg Reed, as I think you can see on your screen, is my name, and I am the proud husband of one wife for 37 years. Glenn, and I'm recently, well, not recently, 2.5 years retired, but I'm still involved in a lot of different things here and there. I've been a high school teacher, vice principal, and pastor, and I continue to just involve myself in various church stuff, I'll say. That's probably enough about me.
My name is Jacqueline. I attend our Kitchener site. I am a singer. I am a voice teacher. I began teaching private voice lessons actually out of our Kitchener site a little over a year ago. I studied vocal music in my undergrad. Music is a big part of my life these days. I sing with the chamber choir. I sing with the jazz band. I have been facilitating some worship workshops at WMB KMB and other local churches. So that's me.
Hi, everyone. My name's Kelsey Bish. I usually attend the WMB site, and I work at the Waterloo Regional Health Network in medical imaging, so usually an x-ray or CT, and I'm temporarily working with the students that come for their clinical placements. And when I'm not at work, I help to volunteer with the junior youth at WMB, and I really like a good latte.
Now that is some valuable information right there. That's great. Thanks, everyone. Now, a question I have for you is a question that I always ask. So if anyone's been listening to these podcast episodes, they will know what's coming next. And my question for you three is, what makes you feel fully alive? Greg, we'll go to you first.
Yeah, I'll go with two things. The first thing is my two granddaughters make me feel fully alive, because this morning I was just on a field trip with one of them, and just laughter and joy that young kids bring. The other thing that would make me feel fully alive is really just being involved in what God has for us each day. And so there's just these moments each day where you sense you're in the zone with the Holy Spirit and God's leading you. And it's just a thrill to be partnering with him.
For me, as I already mentioned, music is a big part of my life. I feel very alive when I'm singing using my voice. Regardless of what genre I may be singing, I sing classical, I sing jazz, I sing pop, I sing worship. It's such a gift. I feel alive when I'm outside enjoying the beauty that God has given us in creation. I feel alive when I'm laughing my butt off with my friends. digging into relationship with people.
Yeah, I'm similar to Jacqueline. I really enjoy spending time with my family and friends, and also in creation. I love a good hike where I can experience God's everything that he's made is so beautiful, and even better if I get to do that with a good friend.
I love all those answers. Now, my next question, and we're in just a moment going to get into some of the specifics of this recent trip that you all went on. But first, I want to take a step back and look at the bigger picture. And that is the idea and the calling of mission. So my question for you is, how has God been transforming your heart over the years to join his mission.
Yeah, the key point is over the years, it's been amazing for me that as a much younger man than today, I was able to be involved on several missions trips at the age of 16, and then again in early married years at the age of 24, 25. And it's been amazing to me that every time I've stepped out of my comfort zone to take a risk, to go somewhere, to be intentionally on mission with God, He has shown up. And those experiences are just amazing, and they just radically transform, I believe, who I am. And yeah, I mean, I won't preach about it, but what's in your heart starts coming out, and you want that to be good stuff. You want it to be God's stuff in you. And so mission really draws that out.
Yeah, I mean, God's been transforming my own heart, I'd say, pretty exponentially in the last couple of years. There's just been a few key things that He's been putting in my path, kind of presenting to me. He's like, okay, you've got a bit of a crossroads before you, Jacqueline. What are you going to do with that? And yeah, there's been, there's a study actually that Greg and I did together a few years ago. We read, I actually have the book right next to me, The Awe of God by John Bevere, which was a really impactful experience for me, just digging into what the fear of the Lord really means. And so that was kind of a first step towards something deeper for me. And then the next step kind of came in the form of an accountability partner. And yeah, that just spurred on an even longer journey than diving into Freedom Session, which I did last year. So yeah, just seeing how God really wanted to get a hold of my heart and start changing me. And seeing the fruit from that and the freedom and the peace and the joy that it's brought me has really spurred me on to want to see that in other people's lives and see my own community transformed by the love of God that I've been experiencing more and more in my own life. So, yeah, I truly believe that this is the mission of God, is to see people's hearts transformed.
And I've grown up attending WMB and became a Christian at a young age. But my faith really became more like real and came alive to me when I was in when I went away to university. And there I just really saw God actively working in my life just through my community that I met and just circumstances there. And I was just really encouraged and challenged to grow in my faith and leadership. When I was younger, I had gone on a mission trip with my dad, which was a really special time. And then when I was in university, I went on a mission trip to Portugal with a team from WMB. And like what Greg was saying, I've just learned like over the years, just through experiencing God's faithfulness, that it really is rewarding when you are obedient and you follow where He's leading, even if that feels scary and it's outside of my comfort zone. And I just keep thinking of like the phrase, like, or the song Motions, the lyric that says like, Spirit lead me where my trust is without borders. And I just really try to kind of, yeah, live my life kind of in that space.
So good.
Thanks for sharing that. I think there's testimony even in what all three of you said, that sometimes we can be with an expectation that these things will just fall into place right away, right? We have the fire, we have the excitement, but some of this takes time, right? It takes years of faithfulness and of God slowly revealing Himself to us. And I think there's just so much beauty in the years of faithfulness, the years of continued growth, and the years of walking with Jesus. So thanks for sharing all of that. Yeah. Now let's talk about some Austria-specific things, not Austria the country, but rather the recent Austrian trip that you all three were a part of. So my first question I'm going to ask you, Greg, is can you just give us a bit of an insight into the formation of this trip? How did God bring this all together and make this trip become a reality?
Yeah, it's really neat. As I've been reflecting on the trip, and we've got Mission Sunday coming and all that stuff, and really seeing that it was a year ago, February 2024, where I was chatting with my daughter, Sarah, who's the missionary in Austria. And Sarah goes, Dad, I think you need to lead a missions trip from WMB out here, because she's now been in Austria long enough and got her feet planted and integrated there, where part of her role in the church there is to host teams to Austria, because, you know, mission has many purposes, but one of them is to help disciples grow and being better disciples. And, you know, WMB's More and Better Disciples mission is part of that. And so really from that point, we prayed, and we prayed not only father and daughter, but I invited the pastors at the time at the church to pray and say, is this something WMB wants to do? Would this be a WMB trip? Would it be a multiply agency trip, that type of thing? And so there was just immediate excitement from church staff to put this together. And so then I think it was probably around September of 2024 then that we then had some vision meetings around the trip and engaged in a few different people. And so people like Jacqueline and Kelsey and others showed up to these meetings and said, what's this all about? And it was just amazing to then see who applied and all that stuff. And by about a year later, February 2025, we had a team. We had a team that had formed. And that was really great, because then we had kind of that year, because we obviously only went on mission back in October. And so we had that rest of that time in order to build the team and to meet together, to learn together, to grow together. And during that formation, God really kind of expressed through some of the planning that this would be a not just a mission team, but a prayer team. Mm-hmm. So a team of intercessors that would go and pray for the ministry for the church in Austria, and also to start to connect our two churches together. So to connect the church in Canada with the church in Austria. And so it was really interesting to me from the first day of, you know, February 2024, thinking about what would this be. Man, my picture in my head totally changed over that first year as we started praying about it and really starting to sense what the Holy Spirit was telling us that we needed to do. So hopefully that answers your question, but I think it was just awesome to see God's hand in this.
Absolutely. And one other thing I'd like to point out, what you just said there, is it takes a step of faith, right? Like at the start, it was just that conversation with Sarah, but you're like, you don't know who's going to want to be a part of this. You don't know if anyone will, right? But it takes that step of faith and trusting in God to walk down that path that led to this entire thing coming together and all the beauty that brought. So
yeah, absolutely.
I think, yeah, there's just an encouragement in that. My next question is now for you, Kelsey. So Greg was a part of some of the organization of the trip. You were someone that he mentioned went to one of those meetings. So my question for you is really this: what made you say, yes, I want to be a part of this? I want to go to Austria in 2025.
Yeah, I think part of that is just the history with missions that I have already had. So it wasn't something new to me. Like I definitely know that through the experience on going on a mission trip, you just really experience like a different closeness with God, and you really have to rely on him in different ways, and you're challenged to grow. And I always like to challenge myself to grow in new ways. So it was an interesting opportunity that arose. But a little bit of the backstory was I guess it would have been the fall of 2024. I just really felt the Holy Spirit impress on my heart that it was like I needed to be setting some more God-centered goals, not like personal goals for myself like I had been doing. And then shortly after that, the announcement was on the screen at WMB that they were putting together this team. And Emily had approached me to help out with junior youth. So I was like, oh, this is a little bit too much of a coincidence. I think that both of these opportunities are aligned with God's mission, and these are things that I should step into. So I said yes. And I think also like another reason was just to get to know people at WMB on a deeper level. And and it's always just really a cool experience just to meet other people in God's church that like our global brothers and sisters.
There is another example of, again, taking that step of faith, right? For you to say yes to that. And you see these opportunities open up, and the opportunities are there, but you didn't have to say yes, right? It took that step of faith. And I think that's an encouragement that we can all have, is sometimes you just have to say yes and put trust in in that, even though it maybe seems scary, nerve-wracking, and all the different emotions we can feel. Now, Jacqueline, you were a part of a bit of the planning for this trip, I know, just from the different stories I've heard. And I remember you were also just kind of helping see this all come together in terms of financial provision and just getting all that stuff set up. So could you just speak into a bit about how God provided for this trip to happen?
Sure. I feel like you give me way more credit than I'm due. But really, like, honestly, the first thing that comes to mind when I think about God's provision for this trip is the team members that he brought together themselves, and just how, yeah, he selected us very intentionally. 'Cause, yeah, I see how we each were able to just lean into our own giftings and the desires that God has placed on our heart to just walk in that. And everything just managed to fall into place when we did that. So that was very cool. Something that really stood out to me as far as provision financially and just gaining support leading up to our departure was the fundraiser event that we did at the Hurleys. That was a big deal. We didn't really know what to expect. And yeah, we put a lot of time and energy to try and plan an event that people would really want to come to and would be excited about. I was blown away. And I think the rest of my team was also blown away by how the church showed up. People were really excited to be there. They were really excited about the trip. The evening was an opportunity for us to pray for people and for people to pray for our team and hear from us. My jazz band got to play. It was just overall a really, really great church event. The Lord's blessing was on it. And I think, yeah, Greg, I can't remember off the top of my head, but we raised above and beyond our fundraising goal, and we were able to actually bless the Austrian church with like quite a good gift. Greg, do you have that number? How much were we able to give them?
I don't know, conversions and all that stuff, euros to Canadian. It was thousands, which is great. But yeah. Exact numbers not eluding me right now. So
all of that to say, like, God was going before us, and yeah, he really blessed this mission. Another thing that comes to mind as far as the preparation was just a conversation that I had with Sarah. She was the one who was doing a lot of the planning for the itinerary. And I remember, like, we were getting pretty close to departure, and we still didn't have an itinerary yet. And I remember I had a phone call with her, and she was saying how she really wanted to include as many people as possible in our time there. She wanted people from the church to be hosting us for meals. She wanted people to come and for us to meet them and pray with them. And she wanted people who would be able to join us for prayer walks and things like that. And of course, these take time to, you know, hear back from people and confirm things. She was just so sure that the Holy Spirit was going to work it out. And it did. I think, yeah, despite the tight timeline, things just managed to fall into place. And there was always, I think, a feeling amongst our team members that we didn't have to worry. We didn't have to worry about fundraising. We didn't have to worry about the itinerary, because God was going to work it out. And he did. So,
yeah, that's amazing. I was actually reminded me of someone I was recently having a conversation with that was looking at potentially being a part of a mission trip to the other side of the world. And the financial piece came up, and that was a big piece of fear for them. They're like, this is thousands of dollars. How could I ever make this happen? But sometimes it's just trusting in the Lord that he will provide, right? And sometimes, like this example, even a beyond what you needed, which is quite amazing. And I'd love to now transition to just some stories from the trip. So Kelsey, why don't we actually start with you for this one? Could you just share a story from the trip and a Yeah, just a short story of how you saw God at work.
Yeah. I think I'd also like to back up a little bit and just say that as the team transitioned into like a prayer intercessory team, that kind of did scare me a little bit because I've never felt very comfortable or confident praying out loud in groups of people. But again, it was a good challenge for me. But so as we met on a monthly basis as a team to pray, I really had to just like choose in those like prayer sessions to pray. And I think it was just really valuable, that prep work that we did leading up to it, because once we got to Austria, it was a really cool thing that happened just like internally, that we would go to pray for someone and I didn't have any like fear about praying. I just had this freedom that I could just pray out loud. I wasn't scared of judgment or worrying about like, what am I going to pray? Like, is God going to say something? Like, he always just place something on my heart to pray aloud. And then I just had this boldness that I've never had before to just pray out loud. And it was such a cool experience for me.
Yeah,
that's really cool. Thanks for sharing that. Jacqueline, we'll go to you next. What is a story from this trip that you could share just of how God is at work?
Yeah, sure. I think God will place you in places intentionally. And I could see there were a couple moments that come to mind where this happened with me in Steyr. The first I can think of is on the Thursday morning, we went to a Catholic mass. And it was cool because the staff at Sarah's church, the pastor, Tim's, and Sarah herself had already been building relationship with the people at this particular church. And they invited us actually to come and sing as part of their service, which was really cool, or mass, I should say. But anyway, partway through the mass, everyone was invited up to participate in the Eucharist. And it was a little bit of an awkward moment. I was the first of our team to go up to the front. And there was something that happened. I think there was a miscommunication. The language barrier played a role. But the priest was confused as to where I stood. I think he didn't have a clear understanding that I follow Jesus and understand what I'm doing. And so what ended up happening was that he gave me a blessing instead. So I didn't participate in communion, but he gave me a blessing. And he did that with the rest of our team. And so, yeah, it was a little bit of an awkward moment. But in our kind of debrief at the end of the day, we talked about this experience and discovered that the Catholic Church, they've been working through some stuff and just kind of reevaluating why they do certain things that they do. And Tim was saying how perhaps the experience that we had this morning may spur on even more of a conversation. And so, yeah, thinking like, okay, I think there was a reason why I had that awkward moment this morning. I think God kind of just might have placed me there for that particular reason. So that was one thing. Another cool thing was on our Sabbath day, I took Greg with me to one of the other local churches. There's so many beautiful, beautiful churches in Austria. And me as a singer, I love to sing in big, beautiful spaces. And so I dragged Greg along with me to video myself singing in this church. And it's funny because I struggle with anxiety from time to time. It's something that the Lord's been working on me with, but I was feeling really anxious to record in an empty church for whatever reason. But we did it anyway, and it was lovely. There was a man who came in at one point just to listen to me sing. And as we left, he kind of expressed his appreciation, and then kind of just went about the rest of my day beating myself up for how terrible my singing was. But then a couple days later, Greg and a handful of other people from our team were out for a walk, and they bump into a random stranger and strike up a conversation. I think it was because the reason the conversation happened was because Renee had taken off her coat, and the stranger was looking at them weird because it was so cold. Why would you take your coat off when it's so cold? And they were like, well, we're from Canada. Anyway, so they strike up a conversation, and they discover that this man is the same man who had heard me sing in the church a couple days before. And turns out that that was a really meaningful moment for him. He was completely, yeah, he was struck by my singing. And so that led to a conversation where they were able to kind of tell him a little bit more about what we were doing in Austria and even extend an invitation for this man to check out Sarah's church. And so again, it was like, okay, God, I think you might have just placed me there for a reason that I could have never guessed. And that's pretty cool.
Yeah. So
yeah, that's pretty cool. God can work in the awkward, God can work at the anxious, and God can work in everything in between. So thanks for sharing those stories, Jacqueline. Yeah. Greg, we'll just end this question with you.
Yeah. You know, giving testimony to what God is doing is just so amazing, and it happens in just really powerful ways. And I think there was 2 days on the trip, Wednesday, Thursday, Tuesday, Wednesday, I don't know which 2 days they were, but we were engaged with meeting a ton of people, and we were just allowed, privileged to pray with them. And so imagine you're, you know, now in another, we're in Gemünden, I think, and we're meeting one of the head guys of the Mennonite denomination in Austria, the MFE, Andreas, and we get to pray for him. There's a visiting missionary, Anna, we get to pray for her. There's a trek team, a multiply trek team being trained out of Germany, but they're there, and we get to pray for them. We get to pray for their leader. We get to pray for an elder in the church. I mean, I was tired. We kept praying for all these people. And the next day we got to pray with all the leaders of the Steyr Church, Sarah's church. We got to pray with Tim and his wife and all the, like, we were just praying. And I was tired physically from praying. But I felt so full and so amazed that, you know, like as Kelsey said earlier, like even some fear about praying, like what's this praying? Like we're intercessors? Are you kidding me? We're just regular people. And regular people just take that step of faith. And I think you said earlier, Derek, like just moving forward in faith first is what's needed, right? And so you just start, like I'm sitting there and I've prayed for lots of people and all that stuff, but I'm like, I don't know what to pray for. So you ask these people what to pray for and they tell you a few things, and then you just start opening your mouth and God speaks, and you have this amazing time with the King of the universe and praying for these people. And I think the thing that testifies so greatly to what God is doing in building this bridge between Canada and Austria, between WMB and the church in Steyr, is that all of the, like the majority of these leaders, we even had this flip chart, we were writing down all the people we were praying for, and we put stars beside all the people's names that we prayed for that said, really what I want is a deeper relationship, a closer relationship with Jesus, so that in their leadership, it's Jesus leading and they're serving. And that, I mean, I get emotional thinking about it. That just blew me away. So the fact that, and also many of those people go, I've never been prayed like this for this, like before, like it's just not happened. And so, and I'm going, that disturbs me a little bit, because we've got to be doing that more intentionally and praying specifically for leaders, but also for nations. And I'll kind of end that off with that. I think part of the tiredness of those specific 2 days of prayer was the tiredness of a soldier in war, because we're entering into a huge spiritual battle. And so, yeah, I think the enemy was pushed back a ton in our days there in Austria. And so that is just really a testimony to what God is doing, not only in the earthly plane, but in the heavenly places as well.
I think sometimes when people think of a mission trip, an image comes in their mind that I have to be like building a house
right.
or doing something very physical like that. And that has its time and place. But the ministry of prayer, may that not be a neglected ministry in missions, right?
Yeah.
That is where it's honestly probably where that is what I would say is where the real work gets done.
Yeah.
Right.
I would agree with you. And I think there's this piece of intentionality and work, mm-hmm. right? Intentionality and work in prayer is so key. And I think sometimes we treat it as this light little thing, but it ain't.
Yes. Amen. I'm going to ask one last question and I'll bring it, all three of you can respond. If you like, my last question is out of this prayer piece, how can we as a congregation partner with the church in Austria in prayer? And, or you could say, you could also answer my second question. How has God been stirring in your own heart and leading you to pray? So mm-hmm. this idea of prayer, how could we be praying for the church in Austria and how has God been stirring you to pray?
I want to hear one of these other two say it first.
A big prayer request from the Steyr Church has to do with conflict within their own community. And yeah, there's a deep ache from the church leadership to see people's hearts softened. Because there's reconciliation that's needed, but they're coming up against a really deeply rooted root of bitterness. So that's definitely been on my heart. Because again, as I said earlier, I'm totally sold on the idea that God's mission is for the human heart. Mm-hmm. And so, it breaks my heart to hear and see that this is going on. So that's what I'm going to say.
It's good.
Yeah. And his heart is for reconciliation and for peace. So yeah, I think just praying for that really intentionally is key. Also just that Jesus would shine his light through mm-hmm. The Mennonitish church, and just that more people would come, that their congregation would grow, especially mm-hmm. in regards to young people, that the youth would come. There's a really big longing in building like a youth center in Gmunden, and just as Sarah and Christian have been going to other churches to talk to other youth, but just that there would be a hunger from the youth. And I also think it was really cool that our team ended up being like a lot of young people on our team to pray that prayer, which was really beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the inspiring partnership part of this is that we are a community that is connected, you know, whether we realize it or not, we are connected to the church in Steyr as a church here in Kitchener-Waterloo. And I believe that we need to fan into flame a little bit. Encourage any of you that are watching this podcast or listening in that, you know, ask our team about the names of the people. Ask us about the testimonies of the two young people that got baptized just after we left and we heard their testimonies there. Ask us about 10. Afa, the pastor, and his wife there in Steyr. Ask what we bumped into and that we prayed for. I really believe that as I started this story with, you know, February 2024, this idea came about and then it came into fruition. Even as I've chatted with our lead pastor, Jeff McLeod, and as Jeff and Tim have now connected and had, you know, just a good time for a video call and learning a bit more about each other's roles and how we can support one another back and forth. This is an answer to the starting of building this bridge between our two churches. And so here's actually this is the picture in my mind. I would hope that one day, we would get news from Steyr and we'd share it in front of our congregations in Kitchener and in Waterloo, and it'll be joyous news. And so it won't just be, oh, that's nice. It'll be amen from the audience. It'll be like, I can't believe it. Rounds of applause, clapping because people were baptized in Steyr, because prayers that we've prayed, we've seen God move in, right? And we have to get that invested with one another. So yeah, ask us the names and all that stuff. But I think there's just something that God has done and is continuing to do, and it will benefit his kingdom here in Kitchener-Waterloo and his kingdom in Steyr. So yeah. How can you be praying? Get to know people's names, get into relationship, and start praying.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Thank you to you three for sharing today. Just for you, the listener, as we come to a close, I encourage you, if you have more questions, if you want to hear more testimony of this trip, I encourage you to ask one of these three or another team member out for coffee, or even just catch them in the foyer. Just ask them those questions, how they saw God at work. Or as well, if you've had a stirring within your heart to take that leap and go on something like a mission trip, but maybe there's a fear that has a grasp on you. Maybe there's an unknown. Again, ask them out for coffee. Have a conversation. I'm sure they would love to be able to just speak truth and just share how God worked on this trip, and then also in their own heart. And then my final piece is that we as a church can continue to pray, continue to partner in prayer with the church in Austria, and also remember that the church is global, right? Amen. Church is global. Sometimes we can get so narrow focused on what is right before us physically, right? Like the space we are in. But God is at work all over our world. And I think that's a really important perspective to keep in mind in our prayer life. Yeah. My final piece is, again, pointing to Mission Sunday. So if you were not able to join us in person for Mission Sunday, I encourage you to go back, look at the live stream, and hear some of the testimonies this Sunday, because I think they will be impactful. So Greg, Jacqueline, and Kelsey, thank you again for joining us. May the Lord bless you and keep you, and may he give you peace. We'll see you soon, everyone.